I'm sorry, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and starting with verse 24. And you can say amen when you get there. All right, praise God. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Everybody said good seed. Good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, or no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together. Everybody said, grow together. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. Now, what we are striving for this morning and should be striving for every day is that when the harvest comes, we're going to be wheat in his barn. Don't want to be the chaff that's burned with unquenchable fire, meaning the fire will never be put out. Amen. This is a very real thing that we're involved in here this morning. It's not just another church service. Amen. We're looking to eternity today. Praise God. I want to talk about the power of the word, because when he gave the parable this morning, or when we read the parable, he sowed good seed. Amen. I want to talk about the good seed here this morning and the power of the seed of the word of God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Can you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Father, for your touch this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding in your way and in the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanks this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We could look at a number of scriptures. We are going to be looking at a number of scriptures here this morning. We can understand that there is a natural process to the procreation of life. There is a seed that is sown, and then the plant emerges. And the important thing is the seed that is sown. Amen. What kind of seed is it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23, it gives us something here about the seed of the word of God. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so when we talk about the seed of the word of God, when we look at this parable here this morning about the seed, we can understand that there is good seed and there is bad seed. Amen. There is the good seed of the word of God, and then there is the bad seed of the world. Amen. There's a lot of things in the world today that make a little bit of sense, and some of it makes common sense. There are things that we can learn about the world that are true and they are right. But I want you to know that everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they may make sense to some people, but when you get a hold of the good seed of the Word of God, you're able to tell the difference between the good seed and the bad seed. Well, praise God. And so he said that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And many, many times in pastoring over the years, we have seen people come and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that they are baptized in Jesus' name, and they start out with God, but they don't last very long, and they begin to fall away. We have seen it in our generation today. There is a lot of things that can tempt you. There are a lot of things that can tempt a young person, a lot of things that will tempt everyone as far as that is concerned. Sin is a very popular thing today, and I suppose it's always been very popular, but that is the bad seed. Amen. And the devil came along. Let's look at this parable in Matthew 13. And Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, he sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Amen. The good shepherd is one that sticks to his post. Praise God. He doesn't sow the seed and then moves away and goes somewhere else and tries to sow his seed somewhere else. Praise God. But the one that sows the good seed, excuse me, is Jesus Christ. He came to give us the Word of God. And I thank God this morning for his Word. Thank God. Excuse me. Thank God for his Word this morning. When the enemy comes, when the devil comes, and in fact, he said here that an enemy has done this. He said, the servant said, did you not sow good seed in your field? Verse 27, from whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Amen. An enemy has done this. And so when you start out in the good way, you start out maybe in a Bible study, or you start out reading the Word of God, and I hope that everyone is with me here this morning. Praise God. Hope you're with me here this morning. Don't fall asleep. Praise God. But you start out with the Lord. You start out maybe with a Bible study. You start out reading the Word of God. You get your Bible out and you begin to read it. It's really a very exciting thing to start out with God. It really is. And it's all brand new. It's exciting. It's real. It's a kingdom that mortal man cannot see, but when you are born again, you can see the kingdom of God. You can understand that it is the kingdom of God that is the most real thing in this world. In fact, Scripture tells us that that which is seen is temporary, but that which is not seen is eternal. Praise God. And when you see the eternal, well, actually, the only way that you can see the eternal is by being born again. And when we are born again, we are born again by the good seed of the Word of God. It really does make a difference what you believe. It really does make a difference what seed has been sown in your life. Amen. Which the seed is the Word of God. And the seed will always produce results. Don't ever think that the seed is something that is weak or something that is does not have any power to it. Seeds are miraculous things. They really are. And they are a little package that will reproduce itself over and over and over again. And for thousands of years, it will produce an exact copy of the original. And what we have this morning in the Word of God is the original Word of God. Amen. You're not going to find it in Muhammad's teachings. Amen. You're not going to find it in Confucius's teachings. You're not going to find it anywhere else. But what we have today is the unadulterated Word of God. Somebody said amen. It's the good seed, and it's important that you understand the Word of God. Jesus gave a parable, and in the verses previous to the scripture that we read this morning, where a sower went forth to sow. Very simple, very basic stories, but they give profound truths to them. And it always centers around seed, it centers around fruit. That was a big deal in their day. They didn't have manufacturing plants, but most of it was agriculture. Most of it was fishing and those kinds of things. And so when he gave his parables, he gave them to people that could relate to that. Verse 3 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, "He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And we know that what he sowed was good. Amen. And when you're sowing good seed, it's always going to have a result to it. Praise God. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. And if you go to verse 19, verses 18 through 23 is a parallel to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9. Verse 3 through 9, he gives the parable, but verses 18 through 22, he gives the understanding of the parable. And it's not enough just to read the Word of God. We have to have the understanding of the Word of God. And he said here, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, verse 19, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, or the devil, and snatcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Amen. But in verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that beareth, that heareth the word and understandeth it. So there is an understanding in some, and there is not an understanding in others. What we must do if we're going to be successful in living for the Lord is we've got to understand the deep things of God. Well, praise the Lord. It's got to become a part of us. It's got to be something that we understand. Amen. Because if you don't understand what you believe, then you can be deceived very easily. Amen. Somebody said one time, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Praise God. And we cannot afford in eternity, when we're talking about eternity, we cannot afford to believe anything. Amen. Well, praise God. We cannot afford to believe anything. But what we must do, what we have to do, is we have to get an understanding of the Word of God. And so so he gives the parable there. And we've seen many come and many go. But the reason that they go is because they don't understand. You can be raised in the church. You can study the Word of God, the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They studied the Word. They had everything down pat. They were doing everything just right. But when the revelation of the Word of God and a revelation of who Jesus Christ really was, when it came to them, they missed it completely. They missed the Word of God. And how many times have you and I missed something because we didn't understand? Amen. You bought a car that was a lemon because you didn't really understand what was going on inside the motor or the transmission or something along that lines. How many of us have been deceived by people that took some money from you or whatever, and it was really because you didn't have a complete understanding of what was going on in the situation. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no man knows his heart. And so just because we sit on apostolic pews here this morning does not mean that we don't have the capacity to be deceived. Amen. And if you are just now coming to the Lord, I want to encourage you here this morning to really get your nose into the good book and study the Word of God and ask God for revelation. Scripture says that if any lack wisdom and understanding, and that's what we're talking about, is understanding the Word of God. If any man lack wisdom and understanding, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And so there is really a very exciting avenue that we can follow to understand the Word of God. You may not even be able to read this morning, but it really doesn't matter if you can't read. If you can understand, that's the most important thing right there. Well, praise God. And so, what are we trying to understand? What we're trying to understand is the good Word of God and the will of God for our lives. What does the Lord want me to do? What is God's plan for my life? What is the will of God for my life? And it's not just something that we throw together, but it is something that comes from the seed. Amen. A corn seed that is planted in the ground, if it wants to be a tomato, it just can't be a tomato. It's impossible. If it had the greatest desire to be a tomato, and it told everybody around it, I want to be a tomato, once it's planted in the ground, it's going to be a corn. Amen. Praise God. It's going to be a corn. And when we talk about the will of God, we can talk about plans that we make for our future. Amen. I hope this is relevant to someone here this morning. We can make plans for our future, and we can say, this is what I'm going to do, and so on and so forth. But James, the first pastor of the New Testament church, said that if you say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I'm going to go here and buy and sell and make all of our plans without God, he said it's a sin. Amen. We can't do that. But what we need to say is, if the Lord wills. Praise God. And so we have the will of God. And the will of God is wrapped up in the Word of God. Amen. We can find everything that we need right here in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. And we know that the devil sows tares. A tare is a weed. Amen. Weeds grow everywhere. I don't know what it is. You can have a nice yard, and two or three years down the road, all of a sudden in the springtime, all these dandelions come up. Anybody ever experience that? I fought against them things for years. I had dandelions. My neighbors had dandelions. I blame my neighbors for it. I never told them that, but in my mind, I blame my neighbors because they just mowed their grass so low. One of my neighbors in the past, he mowed it so low that when he was done mowing, there was no grass, there was just dirt. Maybe he thought that he didn't have to mow so often. But weeds will grow when there's no grass and there's just dirt. It doesn't matter how good or how bad the dirt is. And so I would go out there with my chemicals and I would go all over the yard and I'd fight them back. And I did pretty good for a few years. And finally I threw up my hands and said, you know what? Weeds are green just like grass. Praise God. And I'll just be happy with weeds in my yard if that's what the way it is. You know, we can get the idea that when we are planted in the vineyard of the Lord, we can get the idea that everything has to be good all the time. But that's not reality. Everything is not good all the time. We live in a very imperfect world. I'm looking at imperfect people here this morning. Well, I knew it would get quiet right there. But I'm preaching to imperfect people, and you're listening to an imperfect person. Praise God. There is no such thing as a perfect job. There is no such thing as a perfect wife. There is nothing. There's no such thing as a perfect husband, a perfect job, a perfect church, a perfect friendship. It does not exist in our world. And so we have to make adjustments for these things. We have to say, well, how am I going to deal with this situation when it comes along? Because some situations, the enemy can bring it in there. And you say, well, like the servants, they said, didn't you sow good seed in your field? You know, it was almost like accusing or a big question mark. You know, didn't you have good seed? If you had good seed, then this would not be happening. And I'll tell you what, you can be planted with the good seed and have all kinds of situations going on in your life, but you can still be a good seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. He didn't promise us that everything would be perfect, but he did promise us that there would be a harvest one day. Praise God. And when we have the harvest in that one day, there's going to be a separation. Amen. I'm really praying that I will be counted worthy of that first resurrection, because we're going to get to come down here and spend 1,000 years on the earth. Scripture talks about 1,000 years of peace upon the earth. Amen. It disturbs me when I read the news and I read about a Christmas present from North Korea. It bothers me when I hear about 1 million people in China that are in concentration camps. And it bothers me when it seems like evil is rising. Amen. And I'm sure you feel the same way about things that are happening in your life. Amen. There are things that happen in our lives. It almost seems like they come out of the ground. And they do, because they are tares. They're bad seed. And there's no making excuses for it. It's bad seed. Amen. And the enemy sows that bad seed, and it can come from anywhere at any time. Amen. Like somebody said one time, everything was going fine until the trouble started. Amen. And when that trouble starts, it's like Job said, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. Full of trouble. And I know you don't want to hear that this morning, but I have an obligation to preach the truth today. And if you want to be saved, you've got to get some understanding of what's going on around you. Amen. We can't go the way of the crowd. We can't go the way of our friends. We have to go the way of the will of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. God has a perfect plan for your life this morning. Amen. And that will of God is going to take you into places at times where there will be trouble. Praise God. Where there will be difficulties. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 through verse 9. He says here, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins." That would be Jesus Christ. Amen. "And in him is no sin." So we have a perfect example to follow this morning. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Now, when he's talking about sinning, he's talking about willful sin. He's talking about where sin rules your life and there's no change in your life. But you've made up your mind you're going to live in sin. "Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you." And the only way we can be deceived is without understanding. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." So doing the right thing, doing the will of God. It's not just doing the right thing, but it's getting a hold of the Word of God and letting the Word of God lead your life and guide your life. David said in one place, he said, "Thy word is a light to my feet and a lamp unto my pathway." And without a light and without a lamp, you can't maneuver. Amen. You don't know where you're going, and you could hit the rocks on the shore, and your ship can sink. He said, "Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that committeth sin." Now this is the one that continues in sin, not going to change their ways, but they've decided not to serve God, not to live for God. He said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Amen. And so the world really, now let's just look at it here exactly as it's written. There are two ways to go. There are two seeds. There's not four or five, six, eight, or ten, but there's only two. And there is one that is called the good seed, and there is the other that is called the bad seed or the tares. One is of God, and the other is of the devil. Somebody said amen. Amen. One is of God and one is of the devil. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Amen. When you are born again, the subject of backsliding is gone. Amen. The subject of turning your back on God is wiped away. Amen. You don't go and get a job and say, I'm going to try this for a month, and if I don't like it, Brother Mike talks about this sometimes, and they come in and they work until the lunch break, and they go outside in the lunch break and they never come back in again. And that seems to be the world that we live in today. Praise God. But you know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for people that will be faithful. Amen. Faithful to God's will, faithful to the work of God. Amen. Faithful to that relationship with the Lord. And that faithfulness, praise God, that faithfulness will hold you up the rest of your life, because there are times when you're going to have problems with your children. Praise the Lord. There's going to be times when you have problems on your job. There's going to be times when you have problems in any of the relationships that we could talk about here this morning. There are going to be difficulties. Amen. Because we have good seed and we have bad seed. That doesn't mean that if you're having problems with your children that they're bad people. Don't take me wrong here this morning. And that's not what I'm trying to say, and that's not the point here today. But the motivation behind actions, amen, the motivation, the deception, if you please, or the lack of understanding of which way to go is why many people go in a particular direction, amen. And it can happen with your children, praise God. That doesn't mean that we don't discipline them, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we're standing on the Word of God here this morning when it comes to our children. Somebody said amen. We worry about our children, and we're very concerned about our children. And for some of us here this morning, our grandchildren, amen. We worry about them, and we pray for them all the time. But it is a part of our world. And when we look at the scripture here this morning, Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 27. I'm going to kind of change just a little bit here, but not that much. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Amen. And so here was a situation where people were laboring. People were coming into the presence of Jesus, and they wanted to hear the Word of God. Look at the four parables that we read already this morning, or that we looked at briefly, rather. The seed fell on hard ground, it fell on rocky ground, it fell on thorny ground, and it fell on good ground. Amen. And they all heard the Word of God. So we can really look at it like this. We can say they all came to the house of God and heard the preaching. They all came through the door of the church, and they listened to the Word of God. Every one of them that he's talking about here was possibly involved in a Bible study, or they picked up a Bible somewhere and began to read the Word of God. Amen. And they came looking for something. And every one of us here this morning are looking for something. We're looking for something in our life. We're looking for whatever it is. But here Jesus had this miracle ministry, and thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people followed him. And he looked back at them, and he said, don't labor for the meat that perishes. In other words, they had seen the feeding of the 5,000 men, not including women and children, with a loaf of bread and a few fish. Amen. And they said, oh, we've got a free lunch here. Praise God. It's amazing how many will come when there's a free meal. Praise God. But when it comes down to actually laboring in the kingdom of God, they're nowhere to be seen. Amen. And I'm telling you here this morning, there is good seed that will influence us, and there is bad seed that will influence us. Somebody said amen. And so he looked at them and he said, don't labor for the meat that perishes, because if you get a free meal from the Lord, then before the day's over, you're going to be hungry again. I don't know how many of us here this morning just have one meal a day, but I have more than one meal a day. Amen. I may not look like it, but I have more than one meal a day. And sometimes I go overboard. Amen. Yesterday, we was out and about with Annette doing some things that she needed done and all that. And the subject of Krispy Kreme kept coming up. I don't know where it came from, or I think it was an enemy that sowed this. Praise God. And so as I got closer to Krispy Kreme, the car, you know, these newer cars, they have this automatic steering control and all that. It just started pulling me to the right. And it didn't say hot on the sign, but that's okay. We pulled in, and I have to confess this morning that we bought a half a dozen original glazed and a couple of other donuts. And they're gone. Amen. They're gone. But that's not going to last me for a month. It's not going to last me for a day. Amen. It's just flour and sugar. That's about all it is. Praise God. And so they followed the Lord, and they said, we can have a free meal over here, and we can get something for nothing, and just kind of comes out of the air. All we have to do is sit down, and somebody can come and feed us. The 12 disciples are going to come. They've got baskets full, and they're passing it out, and we're being ministered to. Some today, that's all they're looking for, is to be ministered to and not to minister. Amen. And if you approach the Lord that way, and thank God He gives. He is our provider today. He is my provider today. But that's not the totality of my relationship with God. Amen. My relationship with God and your relationship with the Lord needs to be, I want to receive, but I want to give. And Jesus said, if you're going to receive, you have to give. And so to be a minister, to pass out the word of God, amen, we've got to have a deeper consecration and walk with the Lord. Amen. It's not it's not for those that have hard ground. It's not for those that are sown in the stony ground or in the thorny ground. Amen. But we keep our mind and our hearts and our eyes upon the Word of God and upon the will of God. Anybody with me here this morning? Amen. John chapter 8, verse 31. Let me turn there this morning. I need to turn to that scripture. John chapter 8. Somebody said amen when you get there. Amen. All right. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. I'm preaching about the Word of God this morning. I'm talking about the power of the seed of the Word of God. If we can understand these simple scriptures, if we believe on Him, amen, if we have a rudimentary understanding of the need to live for God, He said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed. It's not enough just to show up for the free lunch. Amen. And by the way, we're not having free lunch here today. Amen. It's not enough just to come and park yourself on a pew. Amen. It's not enough just to say amen every now and then and give the Lord a half mast. Amen. And that's usually when somebody has died is when they give them a half mast. But we've got to continue. Somebody said continue. Continue in my word. Amen. Then, not before, but then are you my disciples indeed. And so the word of God, when we look at scripture, it says the word of God is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder to the joints and the marrow and the discerning of the hearts, the discerning of the intents of the heart. And so now we're going a little bit deeper here this morning, but the word of God is going to speak to you and to me and talk about the pride that's in your life. It's going to talk about the lust that's in your heart. It's going to talk to you about things that are very personal, only you and God know anything about. Amen. If you continue in the Word of God, then you are going to become a disciple of the Lord. Amen. I want to make it to heaven. Praise God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I really do. That is my entire goal of my life. Praise God. And in order to do that, I have to be open enough through my whole experience of this life. I have to be open enough to say, "Lord, if there's any evil thing in me, show it to me, and I will get it out of my heart." Amen. Now, I didn't expect you to get excited about that, because nobody gets excited about the prospect of having open-heart surgery. Right. Nobody gets excited about somebody saying, "You got a problem, come here, we've got a very sharp tool, and we're going to cut it off of you, or we're going to cut it out of you." We get second opinions, praise God. And sometimes we get second opinions in the kingdom of God, amen. And we see something in the word of God, and scripture says that the day will come when they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn to fables and turn away from the truth. Praise God. I don't want to turn away unto fables, unto something that's going to tantalize my flesh and make me feel good. Amen. Those that just want to feel good are going to be deceived, because there's going to be a battle, and the Lord is going to speak to your heart. If you are going to be a disciple of the Lord, He is going to speak to your heart and show you what things He needs to cut out. And Jesus used some pretty graphic examples, and He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. That's pretty serious stuff. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Amen. Well, how are we going to be offended by that? We're offended by the Word of God. It's amazing in the preaching of the Word. And I guess I'm teaching here this morning, but it's still the Word of God. It gets down into the joints and the marrow, and we get irritated sometimes. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you become irritated by the Word of God? How many times has something been said from the pulpit that is backed up by Scripture? I'm not talking about preaching about personal things from the pulpit. I try my best not to ever do that. When the Word of God goes forth and it talks about attitudes, and I've said this many times over the years, that living for God is 99% attitude. Well, praise God. It really is. It's about 99% attitude. And this old flesh of ours doesn't like to be poked. Amen. It doesn't like to have surgery. Well, praise God. Doesn't like to have it. But if you have to have it, after it's done and you heal up, you're a better person than what you were beforehand. Praise God. And I know it doesn't set well with any of us when we hear the Word of God preached and it gets down into the joints and the marrow. But Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know. Everybody said no. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to know the truth. I don't want to just quote the truth. I don't want to just hear the truth, but I want to know the truth of the Word of God, and to know the love of God, and to know the will of God for my life. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the power of the seed. Amen. And when you understand the power of the Word of God and what it can do in your life, then you can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Amen. There's nothing that I can't get through. There's nothing that I can't overcome. There's nothing that I cannot be victorious over through Christ. Somebody said through Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And so when you look at it here this morning, that scripture's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul was not talking about his personal abilities. He wasn't talking about difficulties. He wasn't talking about victories. Amen. He was talking about the ability to do the will of God in his life. And the only way that's going to happen is through Christ. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Let me read another scripture here this morning. And it's in the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Praise God. Actually, let's go to verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Somebody know that scripture this morning? Well, we need to read it more often then. And when they heard this, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. The sword of the Word of God. And what was the Word of God that Peter was preaching? He was preaching Jesus Christ, but then in verse 36, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so he preached to them, and he said, you are the ones that have crucified the Lord of glory. And when they heard this, they were pricked. They were pricked. Amen. How many likes to have a needle shoved into your arm? Nobody. You want to be pricked? I mean, you're not cutting anything off. You're not cutting it open. You're just pricking it. You're just sticking it. Amen. That's what the Word of God is going to do in your life. It's going to prick you. It's going to stab at your heart, and it's going to say, oh, this isn't right. This isn't the right thing to do. Amen. And it's a pricking of the heart. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it says here, men and brethren, what shall we do? what shall we do? That pricking of the heart is going to have to motivate you to do something. Amen. Because when you do righteousness, you are righteous. And then Peter said unto them, repent. Let's stand together this morning. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And that word repent, I'm talking about the word of God this morning. And hopefully you can understand what I'm saying here this morning. Repent. The word repent is a Greek word. It comes from a Greek word, metanoio. And it's a military term, and it is an about face. You're walking in a direction, and all of a sudden your heart is pricked. When your heart is pricked, you have a choice to make, whether to keep on walking or whether to turn around and go the other direction. Praise God. Repent. That's the first thing that you've got to really establish in your life is repentance. I'm going the wrong way. If this is the Lord, if we use that speaker right there as the Lord, and we use this speaker right here as the world and sin and pleasures and our plans, when we're walking towards our plans, we're walking towards sin, we're walking towards the world. As you get further and further in there, the light of God gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And that's why people get so far away from God and they commit these heinous crimes and sins that we read about every day, it seems like. It's because they are so far, far out into the darkness that the light, they're just in total darkness. But repentance, doesn't matter how far away from God you are this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've got involved in or anything along those lines. If you will repent, you're about to have a spiritual experience when you repent. And it's not the greatest of experiences in God, but it is an initial spiritual experience, because when you turn, you're walking away from God. And when you turn, that word metanoio is an about face. You're walking this way, and all of a sudden you turn, and all of that's behind me, and now there is a light in front of me. And the light may be way out there. It may be just a little flicker of light, and you feel like you've got a long way to go. Repentance is the very first place. I'm telling you, when you're living in darkness, and you turn and you see that light, it seems like the brightest thing you've ever seen in your whole life. But think about it. When you repent and you turn yourself and you begin to walk toward God, you turn yourself, you begin to walk toward God, every single step that you take, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I understand more as I get closer to the light. I can see pews, I can see drums, I can see a flag, I can see all these things. But when I was going the other direction, I couldn't see that. I couldn't see that when I was going the other direction. Amen. There's somebody here this morning. Praise God. And the message for you this morning is repent. Repent. Peter said, repent. That's when we turn away from sin. That's when we die out to ourself and we live unto God. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. What are you going to do with the Word of God this morning? I just read it to you. I just read the Word of God. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Have you been buried in the water in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. That's the good seed. That's the good seed, because it's for the remission of sins. I'm not baptized in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but I'm baptized in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And those sins are remitted. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. That's the power of God to live for God. Amen. There's no other way. There's good seed and there's bad seed. But if you leave here this morning and you go home, and your friends begin to talk to you and they say, well, I just don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. What about this? What about that? What about the other? No, I'm telling you what, you've got to understand the Word of God, and you're going to have a terror that grows up beside you. You're going to have negative influences in your life. You're going to have forces and voices that will tell you, oh, it's not that important to be in the house of God. I can skip Bible study. I've got more important things to do. But I'm telling you this morning, if you get a hold of the Word of God today, amen, you can grow right where you're at. Amen. The tares can be all around you, but you can be a light for God. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we need you more than we need anything in all of this world. We need your presence. We need your touch. God, we need your help right now, that the Word of God will be infused into each and every one of us here this morning, that the power of God, the victory of God, will move in this place today. You're our provider, you're our Savior, you're our Redeemer today, and I give you thanks for it. I pray for everyone that's here this morning, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. God, that you would help them to turn their life and to come to you with everything in their heart. In Jesus' name. Somebody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. While they sing this morning, I wonder if there's someone that would just like to come and pray. Amen. Just like to come and seek the Lord this morning and say, what you've said to me today, preacher, has touched my heart. It has pricked my heart, and I want to do something about it. I want to make some action in that direction. I want to say yes to the Lord. And God will meet you at the altar. Sing this morning.